It is 3:33 on Downtown Live at Seasons, Main Street, Bangor, and our Quality Jewelers Studios on The Pulse, WZON, and around the world, WZONThePulse.com. It's just for you.
Appropriate.
I hope you like that.
I do.
Man, I'm just doing my job.
Good job.
Joining us in studio, we're honored to have United States Senator Susan Collins with us. Senator, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. It's such an honor to be here today.
Well, it's a treat for us to have you here. And I want to start by thanking you from the folks of the Bangor area for the work you did recently, helping get about a $1.4 million grant for our bus system.
Thanks so much. I think that is going to be so important. You know, it's very expensive to start replacing a fleet of urban buses. And in this case, the buses go beyond just Bangor and serve surrounding communities. So I hope this will be a real assist to the city.
I think it will. And we're very proud of the bus system here and grateful for your help in making that all possible. Well, let's talk about some things happening here in the state. And it's certainly on everybody's mind lately. And that's the National Monument designation for the Katahdin area. And I know you were not a supporter of that early on. But now that it's here and now that it's been done, what can you do and what can we do as citizens to make this work best for the people of Maine?
Well, first, I am glad that the Park Service is reaching out and having a series of listening sessions, one occurred this week, to get local input into the management plan that will be used. I know that the president had every legal authority to designate the monument, but I do believe he would have been better served by continuing to work more collaboratively with the legislature, with local communities, with stakeholders. But now that he's made the decision, I've seen a great deal of people, both opponents and proponents, who are eager to shape the decisions that are made on everything from where hunting is allowed to whether snowmobiling is allowed to signage to all of the many decisions.
Now, you know our economy has changed so much here in the state over the last couple of decades, from a thriving pulp and paper industry, the potato industry that you know very well, a poultry industry, the shoe industry, and so many of those are either gone completely or not what they used to be. What can we do in the future to improve Maine's economy, and what's a direction we should be looking as we move deeper into the 21st century?
You know, as I travel around the state, I'm struck by the fact that there are all these very innovative small businesses, and they are quiet. People don't know about them, but they're creating jobs. They're innovative. They're a lot of times they're in the high-tech field. I just came from a meeting in my office with a group of people who are developing a very exciting technology that would be useful in the healthcare arena. And I find that all over the state. A lot of times we don't realize, for example, that in the small town of Shirley, we have a company that makes the bats for Major League Baseball.
Right.
And they're everywhere throughout the state. I think too often we sell ourselves short and that we don't believe enough in ourselves in this state. There's a great company called Naturally Potatoes that's in Mars Hill that I helped recently connect to Sam's Clubs, and they landed the contract for Northeast stores. We have high-tech companies. We have, for example, another company that I visited recently is doing a lot in the diagnostic testing area. And these are hidden gems throughout our state. We need to do more to support them, to celebrate them, and to send the message that there are jobs in Maine, there are good jobs, that our young people don't have to leave the state to have a good job.
Well, that leads right into my next question, because as a teacher and talking with other teachers, we worry about this brain drain all the time, watching our best and brightest get out of high school, go to college, and then leave the state or not come back if they go away to college. And so that I'm sure is a focus for you and everybody involved in government and getting our best young people, because it's not exactly a badge of honor to be one of the most the oldest states and an aging population.
That's certainly a challenge for us. We are finding, however, and this is a fascinating fact, that the cohort of people starting new businesses the most is not young people. It turns out to be people who are in their mid to late 50s. A lot of times they've worked their whole lives for someone else, and they've saved up enough money so that they can afford to go out on their own. There's a great example of that in Piscataquis County, of a woman who worked for years in New York, has come back and is making high-end pocketbooks. Mm-hmm. And so I think there are opportunities with our older population as well. But I do, as someone who has many, many nieces and nephews of college age, or just beyond that, I do worry about the perception that they have to leave the state to get a good job. Maybe they can come back later, but they've got to leave. And we need to have more incentives, more positive experience to attract and keep that. That's why the revitalization of our downtowns is so important. Mm. I love what we've seen in Bangor.
Absolutely.
It's just fabulous. But I've also seen it in Norway and Western Maine and Eastport, where we're starting to see restaurants and great shops so that young people want to stay here.
We're talking with Senator Susan Collins here on Downtown. It has been, as you know, a most unusual presidential election year so far. And away from the personalities, are we focusing on the right issues in this campaign?
I don't really think so. This has been the least predictable year that I have ever seen since I was eligible to vote. And I think the nature of the discourse has been very disappointing, to say the mm-hmm. least, on both sides. And I think there are several issues we ought to be focusing on. For example, biomedical research. That has the opportunity to improve the lives of virtually every American family, and also to provide good jobs, the kinds of jobs that we have at Jackson Labs, for example, or MDI Biological Laboratories in Hancock County. And so I've been for increasing by $2 billion the budget for NIH, National Institutes of Health. We did it last year. We're going to do it again this year. I've heard hardly anything from our presidential candidates on that issue. Jobs in rural America is another issue that I would put very high on the list. And making sure that people have the skills and education and training that they need for the jobs of today and tomorrow. I can't go to a machinist shop in this state and find a single one that isn't looking for machinists. And those are good jobs.
Right.
So that whole workforce training, jobs in rural America to replace some of the jobs that, unfortunately, Maine has really seen depart from our state. The trade angle, which has been discussed and which I agree is a huge issue with poorly negotiated trade agreements, is part of that, but it goes way beyond that. And finally, I don't think we've really had a serious discussion on how to deal with terrorism.
I agree with you on all of those facets. And I want to congratulate you, too, because the word came out this week that you're going to be receiving the Jacob Javits Prize for bipartisan leadership. As somebody old enough to remember Senator Javits, that's a tremendous honor, and it's for your lifetime of work as a member of Congress. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And then can you teach the rest of these people? What do we do? And this is not just about members of Congress or presidents or candidates or governors, but I think it falls on the citizenry, it falls on the media. How do we turn the clock back, and how do we begin to make the discourse more civil and more productive?
That is a terrific question. I've often wondered whether Washington is the cause of the divisiveness and incivility in our society, or whether we're reflecting the coarsening of debate in society. I think it's both, each reinforces the other. And that's why it's incumbent upon all of us. Unfortunately, the internet is, well, it's been a wonderful thing as far as increasing communication. It's also allowed people to attack without responsibility, anonymously. And people will, I gave a speech once on civility, and I went online later to read the comments. The first was that I was a traitor. The next was I was a rhino. The third, you know, went downhill from there. And I thought these people have no sense of irony because the whole speech was that we shouldn't be doing this sort of thing. We should be respecting one another's views.
And I think it's that. You're right about the internet. And I think the 24-hour news cycle and channels that need to generate content in all that time and then turn to pundits as opposed to objective newscasters. And then you even get networks on both sides that are aimed at telling people watching that their point of view is exactly right.
You are so right. When I was growing up, we got our news from common sources. Walter Cronkite, we listened to. We read the same newspapers. And Democrats and Republicans and independents talked to one another. Now there's polling that suggests we view one another as the enemy. That is really serious because we do need to work together to solve the very real problems that we're facing. You know, one that I should have added, there's been virtually no discussion of the fact that we have an $18 trillion debt in this country. And those kinds of issues require partnership. The American people are increasingly going to news sources that just reinforce what they already think, rather than hearing diverse views. And you see it on college campuses, too, where individuals who have views that may be controversial are disinvited, or if they're conservatives, they're not welcome on a liberal campus or vice versa. That's bad. We want to expose our college students to a wide variety of views.
You've reached across the aisle. You've made a career of doing this. Who's a senator on the Democratic side that you... forget working relationship, but personally, somebody that you just enjoy talking with and somebody that's a really valued colleague for you?
Well, I work very well with Angus King, both on a friendly way and to advance Maine's interests, even though we don't agree philosophically on everything, but we work very well, and I consider him a friend. Heidi Heitkamp from North Dakota is one of my absolute favorite members of the entire Senate. She's a moderate to conservative Democrat from a Republican state, and she's just a down-to-earth, she could be a Mainer. I mean, she's just down-to-earth.
The ultimate compliment.
It is. Unpretentious. She's smart, and I really love working with her. But also, as you say, she's a friend. Tell you another person is Barbara Mikulski from Maryland. Mm-hmm. Now, Barbara's very liberal, and so obviously we disagree on some issues, but there are few members of the Senate who have been better to me. She took me under her wing when I was a freshman, taught me the appropriations process, and has been a great and valued friend.
So you've been doing this for a while. As somebody who grew up in Aroostook County, do you ever have a Mr. Smith goes to Washington moment where you stop and look around and say, I am one of 100 United States senators?
All the time. It particularly happens at night when I look at the Capitol Dome and it's all lighted up, and I will think, I can't believe that I get to represent the people of Maine and work there. It's just, I never would have guessed as a young girl growing up in Caribou that I would have the privilege of representing Maine in the United States Senate. And I used to live in this absolutely teensy townhouse, but one advantage that it had was when you went up the steps and looked out the window, I could see the Capitol Dome. And it was there I would always pause on the way to going to bed at night and look at the dome and truly feel inspired.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm not just saying it because you're here, but I think that's why reasonable people of the state of Maine and most people of the state of Maine have great respect for not only what you've done in your time in the Senate for the people of Maine, but the way you comport yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
That.
Say hi to Steve Abbott for us.
I will.
Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you.
Senator Susan Collins here on Downtown. 12 to go before the top of the hour. We'll take a break. Still ahead, Mark Cowden, our Hartley's High School Sports Report. Mighty John Marshall, a little rock and roll, this day in rock and roll history. And later on in the program, Danny Cashman of The Night Show. It's The Pulse, WZON.
Do we ever agree on anything?
We both like the Bangor Mall Cinema 10. The